Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Optimism Show. Today I'm really excited to have Lucas from Pause.media, the founder and actually really the person that's moving things in the on-chain podcasting space. Lucas, it's a pleasure to have you here today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chris. I'm stoked to be here.
And I'm really excited for this conversation, especially like how it ties into the series we are currently doing on the future of media. I know you're working on some awesome stuff with Pause.media and you had some recent updates. Would love to, like, before we dive into the actual details and the actual updates about what we are working on over here with podcasters, really curious, like, and also for our audience, why does it really matter to bring your podcast on chain, to bring your media on chain, and to actually explore those alternative avenues for now, which might become mainstream soon?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is kind of three reasons that we think about this and why you should bring your media on chain. And then there's kind of like a kitchen sink of benefits as well. The first one is by bringing it on chain, you effectively get a native monetization model out of the box, regardless of your audience size. So whether you have 10 people listening to this or a million people, you get the same opportunity to monetize your content as anyone else. And this is different from like Web2 or like the current state of media where largely, monetization is gated to bigger creators. Like you have to have that audience of 10,000 people in order to land a brand deal so you can show their brand on your podcast and get paid and earn a living. And by bringing the media on chain, and there's two ways to do it today. One is the NFT. So people can mint your episode. You'll build a social graph of those fans and you'll be able to engage and reward them, which is kind of like the other reasons to do that, which we'll talk about in a second. But the other kind of way to do it, which Zora has kind of pioneered, is like coining it. So you can release it as an ERC-20. People can trade that content based on the amount of attention that you're drawing to it, and you earn a portion of trading fees. I think both kind of have their trade-offs, and I think Zora's been doing really well on, the ERC-20 front. But really, the kind of the main through line is everyone gets this ability to monetize. I think we had Rachel from The Good News, who's part of like Time Pieces or something. She had like a very viral podcast about a year ago, did millions of downloads. She made $0. That podcast. And then she brought, her, she redid a podcast. She did, brought it to Pods natively out of the box. And, she's made, I think, $7,000 to $10,000. And this is an infinitely smaller, like order of magnitude smaller podcast in terms of listenership, but she was able to monetize natively out of the box. So I think that's one of the main reasons. And then beyond that is the social graph, right? And this happens no matter which way you're doing it, whether it's NFTs or coining, but the social graph of being able to understand the individuals behind your audience is kind of the big through line that's not necessarily possible or as realistic in Web2 in the sense of if I release this episode, I see, wow, this got 10,000 downloads. Half of them were from the US, half of them were from other places in the world. I don't really have any understanding on the individuals behind the audience or who really loved this episode or whose life was changed by this episode. And what the NFTs or the coins or just bringing that media on chain allows you to do is it allows the fans to express their level of affinity for that specific piece of content in the sense of this, I really love this episode and I really want to own it. I'm going to mint 10 editions of it or I'm going to buy $100 of it versus the normal 25 cents, right? So now you can start to see, which fans, which individuals really enjoy your content or really want to support you in a new way, which I think is a pretty big piece of it. And then with it, the social graph, what it allows you to do is you kind of have this two-way value exchange between fans and creators, right? You both have Ethereum addresses. You pretty much have Venmo accounts paired with an email address for every single one of your fans. And through that, you can start to reward them in new ways. So, maybe you want to airdrop them some new tokens. Maybe you want to gate access to specific pieces of content. Maybe you want to have a token-gated group chat, for the top 100 holders. You can really start to engage the audience in a new way that wasn't really possible in Web2. So I think the through line for all of this is like the reason to bring media on chain is really just this idea of you have this whole new set of opportunities to, monetize, engage, reward your audience in a new way that wasn't really possible before. And then on top of that, yeah,
go ahead.
there's a couple other benefits that, I don't think are as sexy to sell, but I think are massively valuable in the sense of, like, one of them is kind of like censorship resistance, fully owned, self-sovereign, owning your content, in the sense of, like, if I release a podcast on Pods, like, that comes in on an 1155 contract that you own. And no matter what happens to Pods, that contract will still exist. You could still publish to it or continue to publish content to that 1155, and it will be accessible anywhere that wants to index that content. So kind of that, like, global distribution, censorship resistant, unruggable side of the equation is really valuable, but I don't think it's the sexiest thing that people care about until, you know, YouTube shuts down your YouTube channel for the fourth time.
Yeah, I would absolutely say it's a matter of, especially depending on which niche the podcasters are in and how censorship is prevalent in that niche in the first place. Now, one thing I'd really like to mention there, because, like, even last year, like a bit over a year ago when we were starting, we started immediately on Pods when we started Optimism Show. And, like, especially in the beginning, as we were just starting out the podcast, like, that monetization aspect was super helpful, especially for covering the initial subscription costs and having that ground zero, even though it wasn't that much of monetization, that actually just feels nice as a podcaster as well, to be able to monetize from day one. And that was really valuable for us in the beginning when we joined Pods as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people really see the benefit, you know, when they're just starting their podcast or publishing their first episode, and then they make their first $5, $10 on that episode. And it's kind of like a game changing. It's not necessarily life changing money, but it's the fact that that opportunity is there. I think is kind of just, it really opens people's eyes and be like, wow, this is actually something really interesting and really valuable for me as a content creator.
Exactly. Like it really opens up the entire game pretty much. So it helps keep the momentum up. And I'm really curious from your experience, especially like recently, I noticed a lot of new podcasts, regardless if they're newer or existing, are joining Pods as well. I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on how the on-chain podcasting space is moving, and maybe what are some gaps that you've noticed that are really frustrating traditional podcasters that right now are starting to get filled with Pods.media and the on-chain media space in the first place.
Yeah, I think some of the frictions that we've seen when we talk to normal podcasts, or I guess maybe answering the first question on you know, how the on-chain space is moving, I think Zora is really showcasing that there's a lot of potential here if you get the form factor right. And specifically, like, this concept of creator coins is really enticing for a lot of people. And yeah, I think the interest is still, like, I wouldn't say it's massively different than a year ago at this point, even with the market picking up. I still think NFTs as a whole are kind of on the back burner of the broader crypto narrative and are still trying to find their kind of a new wedge into the market or what's really interesting for them. So I think we're keeping an eye on that development. But I think as a whole, like, the value prop is still there. And it's still, you know, I think it's as clear as ever for a lot of people. So, you know, it's very easy to start showcasing this stuff to newer podcasts. That said, I think some of the frictions that we see today with bringing on new podcasts or just like Web2 podcasts that don't have a lot of crypto exposure, I think the big one is actually just like earning ETH and like having to deal with that friction or like that accounting nightmare of like, oh, I'm earning ETH, now the value's fluctuating, all that kind of stuff. So I think we're seeing more of a bigger shift into like stablecoin based pricing and minting, which I think is really interesting and something that we're exploring, or just stablecoin based payments as a whole. I think there's kind of like the next kind of leg for this, just because when you do that, you can really abstract the crypto piece. You can just show dollars in your account. You know, if you're on the Pods dashboard and you're kind of looking at your earnings today, it's like in ETH and you're like, okay, if you're brand new to crypto, you don't really know what that means exactly. Like you can try and go do the conversions or whatever, but if everything's priced in dollars or in stable coins or in USDC, you can really start to just abstract all the crypto pieces away in a much more seamless fashion. That makes it more enticing for podcast networks or like, you know, these networks that own hundreds of podcasts that are looking for new ways to monetize. That's kind of like one of the big frictions that we see today. And then beyond that, I think even if you're deeper down the rabbit hole, I think one of the bigger things that everyone's trying to solve that's working in this space is kind of like the why collect or why support. You know, why would I support this specific episode or why would I collect this NFT? And really coming up with more compelling reasons for that. I think, again, mentioning Zora here, it's like they really took this approach of like, coins and speculation, and you know, I'm gonna buy this because I think it might go up. And I think that there's trade-offs with that. But as a whole, I think the on-chain media space, I mean, we started this 2 years ago, over 2 years ago, two and a half now. And back then, no one gave a fuck. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but like no one really cared about bringing media on chain. It didn't really matter. And now it's no longer like, why would you do this? It's like, okay, who's going to start bringing in the big creators to do this? Because the value prop is there. You know, it's super clear. So that's kind of what we're all trying to figure out is like, who can bring in the big creators, who can come up with compelling reasons to support those creators. And yeah, that's kind of where we're at today.
Because the other thing when it comes to big creators as well, that from my understanding, Pods Unlocks, is that it makes community building.
Mm-hmm.
It can make it a lot more personalized and a lot closer than just traditional media in the first place.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the value prop for the bigger podcasts or the bigger creators that can already monetize. You know, they're already raking it in with the brand deals, and it's like extra monetization doesn't really move the needle for them unless it's like massive. And I think like community building, understanding the individuals behind your audience, being able to engage with them, that's really the big value prop for those creators. And then if you can, you know, really add to the monetization, I don't know if like NFT minting can compete with like brand deals in that sense. Maybe if we're in peak 2021 bull market, NFT bull market, where, you know, you release an NFT, you sell it out for $1 million, maybe that moves the needle. Yeah, I think the monetization side for larger creators will more act as like a tip jar. And the big value prop is the social graph and being able to engage with those people that are supporting you.
Yeah, and it makes also perfect sense. But even from the monetization aspect, is, as you mentioned in the example before, where the creator that had millions of streams on traditional platforms and didn't make anything actually managed to monetize a podcast that previously wasn't making anything on chain in the first place. So like it really can flip the script even for bigger creators when it comes to earning, I would suppose.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the big unlock for that is like really answering the why collect and making sure like there is very clear reasons for people to come and support you so that you can have thousands of mints on an episode. I think that's one of the major differences or advantages for NFTs over coins is like the earning power for a creator is significantly larger in the sense of like if you mint an episode for $5 or, you know, mint a couple editions and give that creator $5, they're going to get like $4 in return after the platform fees versus if you buy, you know, $5 of that content coin, the creator's really earning like 5 cents, right? So a lot of that money isn't necessarily going back to the creator. That said, I think there's trade-offs for both sides. It's much more of a easier reason to sell, you know, why buy this content coin? Oh, it might go up. Versus an NFT, which I think the markets are much more liquid for, and you don't know if there will ever be like that secondary market.
I'm really curious because like this has been a conversation that has also showed up on other podcasts where when we're talking with media. Like obviously there's clear trade-offs between, for example, the creator coins that Zora is testing out and how you're approaching collectibles with NFTs with pods. But it seems like even the why collect or the creator coins, at least from the guests who I spoke so far, and like from my perspective, they're kind of too crypto focused at the same time. So it's kind of hard, even as a creator, to explain to a more general audience why it really matters. Like I'm really like I know it's very vague, like on a vague observation, but I'm just curious to hear your takes on it, especially of. Is it a problem of just distribution, maybe just getting more people to see and to get to the point of why collect and some will convert? Or is more of a communication problem or an approach?
I think from my understanding right now, it's a consumer behavior thing. People aren't used to like these microtransactions to support creators. And I think that's something that's changing and you really have to come up with the compelling reasons to like why you should be doing it in the first place. I think the underlying thesis for a lot of us is like patronage, or it's like a patronage plus model where you get some sort of ownership in that creator for doing it. But I think that value prop isn't super clear to the normal person that's coming in. And you really need something super clear that they're going to understand. And I think that's what the coins do well. It's like, oh, it might go up in value and you might make more money. And that's like a very clear reason. And then I think the NFTs on like, I think they do a much better job for the community engagement part because, you know, with the coins, it's like you kind of crowd out or you the social graph gets more noisy in the sense of you don't know why that person's buying that coin. Is it like just purely speculative and like I don't really care about you as a creator and I just want to go up, you know, the number to go up, versus, oh, I actually just really enjoyed this piece of content. Versus an NFT, especially in like a forever edition, it's really just because you want to support that creator and you're going to get some sort of benefits with that creator in return. So I think that's where NFTs also kind of have an edge. But I think that value prop of like number is probably not going to go up. So why would I be supporting this creator needs to be a bit more clear. And I think that's something that we could be doing better at Pods as a whole. And something we're actively thinking about.
It's also one idea that came to my mind, and maybe you considered it as well. I was thinking about Optimism Show as well, is like the Y Collect incentivizing with some kind of a private community access or some kind of special editions, just for the special editions in the terms of like alpha or news for the people that collect. I don't know if I'm just curious, like, have you seen any models like this being implemented by creators so far? I know boosting episodes has been going for a while. I don't know, lately I haven't seen a lot of it, but I'm just curious on that regard, what have you seen?
Yeah, we've seen some creators experiment with token gated access to communities. Some of them that we've seen is like a Telegram group. Another one that we've seen, which was more gamified, was like a Discord, but you'd earned status or like you earned like different kind of roles based on how much you collected. And I do think that there's like definitely some value in that and that there's definitely some interesting experiments to do. I think the hard part with it is that you have to come up with a seamless integration for where the people are chatting, right? Are people going to like, the easiest quote unquote solution would be building the chat feature natively on Pods, but like, are people going to come to Pods to come and chat with like their favorite podcast? Maybe. Or is it better to like have better integrations with a Discord or a Telegram or, you know, or WhatsApp or something like that, or whatever's possible? And I think that's the hard part, is like, where are people actually going to want to chat with their creator in that community? But I do think it's one of the more compelling reasons for like answering why Collect is like private community access.
Yeah, which kind of flips the entire subscription model on its head.
Is that something that you would want to do? And like, how would you want to implement that if you had the magic wand?
That's a good question, actually. Haven't been asked many questions by guests, so thank you for asking that. It just came as an idea. Honestly, we think like actually my main objection to that was like, okay, like the distribution, which is something we're working on right now, needs to be a lot higher to actually implement something like that and to be worth it, which maybe I'm wrong. That's the thing. So maybe like the crypto community would be a lot more engaged in something like that. But then the other objection that comes to mind is like, do people really want to chat with their creators? Do people really want just another community to be part of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that it feels like a strong reason, but also, you know, like if we could build that out of the box on Pods, you on board for the first time and now you have a private chat that's kind of like super baked in. Would you like, is that something, especially if it was built natively on Pods? Like I think like Friendtech got pretty close to this, you know, and I think that was pretty interesting, but it's just a very different experience. Like it's obviously very mobile first for one. So you need like an app or a PWA, but it is an interesting use case. Maybe we'll think more deeply about that. We've seen some success around already.
Oh, that's awesome. Actually, I would say like, especially if there's like a clear guideline or structure, doesn't take like, especially for podcasters like us and everyone, if it's not too tech heavy, I think it will have a lot more adoption because we would absolutely be up to explore something like that. I know like Instagram has, like on Instagram, I've seen some podcasters use the Instagram announcement channels to actually retain their audience. We haven't really experimented with that much, but I would assume it works quite well for a lot of people. Although the feature seems to be kind of falling behind right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you mean by something similar like that, but a bit more two-way, where there's a bit more interaction as well.
Yeah, I think that is like the key here, Chris, is like the two-way, the bi-directional kind of a relationship between fans and creators, and how like bringing media on chain or that relationship on chain can be really empowered. So Yeah, I think that there's maybe a thread to pull there, but it's something that, there's a million things to be working on, so it's tough to prioritize stuff at the end of the day.
When we're on the topic of prioritization, especially with the space moving pretty fast right now and all sorts of media developments, I'm really curious, like, what are the top priorities for pods right now? What are you really looking at right now, and what are you looking forward to in the coming future, really, like recent
Yeah,
times?
and yeah, so kind of as you alluded to earlier, we launched like the new homepage discovery about a month ago. And I think that was kind of a culmination of like, okay, this is Pods V1. We're really happy with this. It kind of works. Creators can publish really easily. There's a fully fledged discovery system and like collecting, mechanism there that we felt really happy about. And it allowed us to take a step back and be like, okay, if we were to rebuild this from the ground up today, like how would we do it? And what would we be focusing on? And I think one of the interesting things, and you actually touched on it earlier, is distribution and growth. We have a lot of podcasts on pods, like I think over 150, 160 right now, and they're all looking for growth. And I think what's interesting is that a lot of them would, if they have 100 listeners today, they would rather grow that listenership to 10,000 people rather than monetize $10 to $20 on every single episode. So really what we're trying to figure out is how can we leverage on-chain incentives or on-chain mechanisms to drive growth and new listenership and distribution to every podcast on pods. So that's kind of what we've been spending the past month on, and we're doing like internal testing around that right now. But that's been the main focus, is like how can we win on distribution? How can we win on growth? How can we help? What we realized too is we had a we did a dozen calls with creators, and you're probably well aware of this. There's a million different tools that you're using before you publish your podcast, whether it's recording on Riverside, you got to edit, you got to, use your hosting provider, maybe you're publishing on Chain to Pods, and then you kind of just publish, you put it out there, and then most creators are just like hands up. They're not really doing anything after that. So it's really like, what is the tool in that post-publishing step that no one has today that can help drive growth? It's like, okay, I published my podcast. All right, now let's go and try and grow the audience. Let's try and grow the listenership. And that's kind of where we want to try and position this next phase of pods, or like this next kind of feature set is around this growth and distribution.
One thing that we've been really looking at these past few months, and so far has been working quite well, is bridging traditional audiences to on-chain. Like, so far, like, we got like 2.5x viewership in like the past 2 months just by like expanding distribution, like with AI, on a bunch of different platforms after publishing. So kind of flipping of like, okay, let's not do more content. Let's do less content, more specific content, and then let's just spread it as much as we can. Like, that is something that so far is working quite well for us.
And I think like more explicitly, it's like how do you grow a podcast in today's age? And it's really around this concept of clips and short form content and starting to push that on every single platform. And yeah, if I were to give you a hint, it's definitely in that arena of like how can we start to leverage clips and bring on-chain incentives to clips.
Because also the other thing that we've been exploring there, you might have noticed it as well, is that sub accounts for traffic. I know WAP is doing something similar. I haven't seen anything similar for the Web3 space, but WAP, when the clipping platforms and like bringing views, has I know it's working quite well for a lot of podcasters. And having those in theory, having a bunch of sub accounts driving traffic could help in this day and age, because there's so much noise that we kind of have to become part of the noise as well to break through it.
You're hitting the nail on the head, Chris. And more explicitly, it's like if you could bring those content rewards from WAP and bring those payments on chain, like how would you do it? And like what would that look like? And that's definitely kind of in the
That's
direction that we're going
interesting.
right now.
That's actually quite interesting. Now, the way you said it, like, that can be quite beneficial, especially for on-chain podcasters and for podcasters that are looking to expand to crypto. But yeah, Lucas, is there anything else that maybe I should have asked you that I haven't, that I'm missing out?
No, I mean, I definitely wanted to talk a little bit about where we're going and what's next and our focus on distribution and growth. And yeah, you definitely leaned into it with the WAP stuff. I don't know. I think that's it. I would love to hear more about your experience, kind of like what you want out of pods, all that kind of stuff. Because you've been publishing for a year now and pretty consistently, so.
It's been a year every week for a year on pods, and honestly, it's been
Goodness.
awesome. Like, saw the like this past year, I saw a bit of the platform changes, the new website, and everything. Honestly, still trying to figure out how to use the discoverability on the new website and how, as creators, we can play on it a bit. And if there's our ways to work on it, like that could be really useful to also talk about. And the other thing is the minting aspect, because the minting aspect seems, especially for on-chain, and we haven't focused that much on minting because it seemed way too complicated and changing way too fast this past year as creators. So it was just whatever comes, and we just go with it. So the minting aspect, like, what is the evolution of the minting aspect as well?
I think the first one is probably like stablecoin-based payments is one. Like, I think most minting today happens in ETH terms. Rodeo, I think, is one of the platforms that has shifted over to USDC-based minting.
Really?
And then, from there, I do think it is kind of dialing in. Well, one, it's like, how do you get normal people to start minting? And one of that is like, can you mint with Apple Pay or stuff like that? But beyond that, it's also kind of to the earlier point of the conversation. It's like, how can we create very clear, compelling reasons to actually start supporting these creators and give them some sort of upside or some sort of ownership in that creator? So, if they're the next Joe Rogan, you kind of benefit on that, in that capacity. So, yeah, I think the evolution of minting is much more consumer friendly is really the direction that we need to go. But I'm also interested to see kind of just how the NFT space evolves and how it kind of shapes into this next kind of phase of the crypto cycle and what brings people in the same way that 10,000, NFT TFP collections were kind of the meta last cycle. It's like, what does that look like today? And like, what does the NFT meta look like in the next 12 to 18 months here?
That makes perfect sense. And also, like, on the point that you mentioned with Apple Pay, I just saw earlier today that the first crypto app has been approved on the Apple Store. So there could be
Wow.
some interesting movements there, actually.
Yeah, definitely making some progress. I know, yeah, the new administration in the US is much more crypto friendly, regardless of what you think. So it's definitely, as a US citizen, it's definitely been more comforting to be building in this space and knowing that you're not going to get served by the SEC randomly for just trying to experiment and make stuff happen. So, and innovate. So, yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of progress on that front. And App Store approvals are just one step to that.
Awesome. Yeah, step by step, but it's definitely moving a lot faster than I at least was expecting. So
Yeah.
probably a lot of other people as well.
By brick, Chris.
Brick by brick. Yeah, Lucas, anything else that maybe we haven't touched on, or anything that you might be interested from a Paul's perspective?
I think that's it. I mean, I was mostly just stoked to talk about the distribution and growth stuff, but I think we kind of squeezed that juice out of that fruit. And now, but this has been a great conversation overall.
It was a pleasure, actually. I'm really excited. Like, we have been on pods and we're gonna continue being on pods, so I'm really excited about how pods is evolving. So far,
Yeah.
it's really been super helpful to what we're doing, and really excited to where things are headed.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I appreciate all the support and you continuing to publish for over a year straight. I mean, it's definitely it's much appreciated on us, and the creators are kind of the backbone of the pod. So, I mean, shout out to you and everyone else.